Shop the President's Day sale at Grand Appliance for unbeatable appliance deals and a hassle-free buying experience that includes fast delivery, expert installation, and personalized service from start to finish. Save now on top brands like LG with top-load washers starting at $5.99 and counter-depth max French door refrigerators starting at $18.99. Learn more at grandappliance.com or one of Grand's local showrooms in Indianapolis and Lafayette. That's Grand Appliance, appliance experts since 1930.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So I know when Aaron Glenn was initially hired, both of us said we love Aaron and like to see him be a head coach maybe somewhere else for his first opportunity. Wanted to see someone with experience here, wanted to see an experienced staff. And, you know, he did a couple of things that we really liked, you know, as far as bringing in a game managing guy next to him, you know, hiring, at least we didn't love Steve Wilks, but at least he has the experience there. To be on the staff, they also brought in Rick Spielman to be an advisor to Darren Mooji. So there have been some things they've done to sort of couch the inexperience at the major positions of head coach and general manager. But if I were to ask you that the reaction from the fans of the Aaron Glenn hire was what? What would you answer?
I would say for the most part, positive.
Yeah. Me too.
100%.
I mean, I had many Jets fans disagreeing with me on social media with these takes, and I think after the press conference, many Jets fans were even more excited about Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, I thought he said all the right things.
Yeah, so I'm glad you said that, because this is what I'm confused about. So just yesterday, Jermaine Johnson of the defensive lineman for the New York Jets puts this out on Instagram. He goes, "To be honest, y'all, let's stop all the hate and buy in, even as fans. It doesn't help anyone being surrounded with negativity. I get it. I've been here 3 going on 4 seasons now, and I want change too. But you have to take what you want and make S happen. So I just ask as fans to buy in and surround the team with positivity and blind faith, because that's what I'm doing. I know the negativity is coming from a place of passion for the team. I get it. I'll do all I can on and off the field to turn things around. I know it's New York media and all that's supposed to be tough, but let's just buy in and say, F it. It's a new year with a new front office and coaches. Let's go. Why not? Can't hurt, right? Negativity can, though. Just a thought. Love y'all."
All right. So I'm thinking it's in one of these 80-20 things. I think 80% of the fans seem to be really into Aaron Glenn, because when Aaron Glenn stood up there, he looked like he was a guy who was in charge and basically said, look, this is the job that I wanted. I wanted this job. I didn't want any other job. I think there are Jet fans out there that would have loved to have had Mike Vrabel instead, but that wasn't going to be a reality once Bob Kraft did what he did up in New England.
Yeah.
So he was going to keep him in the family, and that's exactly what he did. So conversely, I think the door opens for Aaron Glenn here, and not only does he win the press conference, I mean – yeah, there's a lot of inexperience around him, But I also think that they're making moves that show me that he is going to be the one that's in charge. They're not bringing back Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to bring back Davante Adams. The salary cap is going to go up significantly, somewhere between $22 and $26 million this year. They're going to have a lot more money to spend in free agency. And I really think that, you know, at least from the outset, right now as we sit here, things seem to be coming together for the Jets.
Yeah, it just seems weird to me that Jermaine Johnson, of all people, is seeing so much hate on his feed from Jets fans about this hire that he goes out and has to say something like that. And also, by the way, it's not, you know, to go in there and say, you just got to go into it with blind faith.
Not if you're a Jet fan.
No. But, yeah, so I don't know. I thought that most Jet fans were excited about this. Maybe this was after some of the reaction of the fans that Aaron Rodgers was gone, because there were a number of Jets fans that wanted him to come back. Maybe that's where it comes from. But, I mean, it was as if Jermaine Johnson was acting like they made the most ridiculous panned hire of all time, like it was Liam Cohen. After that press conference.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he was reacting to. You know, and who knows? Liam Cohen could end up being a great coach. Sirianni had a wacky press conference. He ended up being a great coach.
You know, generally, we know when they hired Rob Saleh, we felt like there was a real positive jump initially when they hired him. That's how I kind of feel like with Aaron Glenn. I feel like there's a real positive vibe around the team because of him.
Yeah, and I think that. You know, after everybody started hearing the stories and how he had unfinished business and all of that, if you were on the fence, you certainly ended up jumping over that fence to be on the Aaron Glenn side. But now it's, of course, you know, who's going to play quarterback? What's the deal going to be with that? And you see a lot of these rumors about the Jets trading up in the draft, which would be, I mean, that would be a bold move in year one to trade.
Well, that, you know, that's also something that says, you know, we're in it to win it. We're trying to do something. And, you know, if they want Cam Ward and they want to trade up to go get him, you know, that's basically saying to your fan bases, you know, we're doing something. And then you try to spend the money on the free agency side to support the young quarterback, if in fact that happens.
Yeah, and the only way that could happen, because I if you are the Titans, you can't go down to 7 and still get Travis Hunter.
No, I mean, but there are other really good players that are still available. I mean, this is going to be a defensive-laden draft, I think, other than a couple of the quarterbacks and wide receivers. They had the one running back out of Boise State.
Gentry.
That should be a first-rounder. But my feeling is, again, I look at the Browns as the most interesting team in this draft just simply because of the Myles Garrett situation, where they are in the draft, their draft power rankings, how much draft capital they have, how much more they can add to their team. And really, they have an opportunity to do something really special here. Out of all these teams in this draft right now, to me, the Browns seem to be the best set up to really have an unbelievable run if they trade Myles Garrett.
Yeah, and that would be a candidate if the Jets were going to trade up. I think they'd have a better shot at trading with the Browns and trading with the Titans. So, I mean, there could be a lot of wheeling and dealing there with the Cleveland Browns this offseason. And I mean, Myles Garrett has to go, right? There's no way he comes back after requesting the trade.
I don't think so. I mean, he's 29 years old. He wants a contract extension. He's still got three or four really good years left in him, assuming no major injury. That is a salary I don't think that Cleveland's going to want to pay. And I think you got to be realistic about when you look at your team, like, where are you? Are we a quarterback away? And if we are, is that quarterback Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Is that quarterback Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Is that quarterback Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, where Aaron Rodgers ends up is I don't necessarily really care about, but it will be interesting if there is a team that truly believes that with 1 year of Aaron Rodgers, that could put them over the top, if a team believes that. And I don't know. I mean, I really don't, because, you know, it seems to me that at least there's been some players that have been very outspoken. I forget.
You know, the other problem that you have is there are teams that all have new head coaches. A couple have some new general managers. Those teams can start over. Like, the Jets can legitimately start over if they want to because of where they are with their general manager and their coach. The Browns, I don't know if they look at it the way that I'm looking at it, just simply because it may be self-preservation for the coach and the general manager out there that they have to be, that they have to be competitive this year. The problem with them is that they are in one of the most difficult divisions in the NFL. And you're going to see Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow for the next, you know, 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
So now is the time where they can do something spectacular. And they could beef up their team over the next 2 years where they will be a perennial contender as opposed to being a one-year wonder.
Yeah, we talked about a little bit with CeeLo with the Matthew Stafford rumors and then Aaron Rodgers to the Rams rumors. He's been connected there. That could be all nonsense to try to get on the same page with Stafford and sign the new contract. Who knows? But, I mean, that would be an odd one if he ended up out there and they moved on from Matthew Stafford.
That would not be odd to me because I could see Sean McVay wanting a guy for a year and not paying him a lot of money. Because they've actually hit on a couple of really good draft picks. Remember, this is the team that basically said, F the draft. You know, after they won the Super Bowl, you remember that?
It was Les Snead. He had the shirt on and said, F them picks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
So they are coming out of all of that right now. And this is a little bit of a surprise that they made the playoffs this year. And, of course, Matthew wants another contract. And I think what they want to do is they want to kind of continue to build with their young players. And this is why they want to move on from Cooper Kupp and possibly trade away Matthew Stafford and kind of start over. And I could see Sean McVay saying, just give me Aaron Rodgers for a year, just so I can have a guy that's going to keep me somewhat competitive.
Then where's Stafford going? The Giants?
Well, depending on wherever they are able to trade him, it's going to be most, I would think, I can't see an NFC team. I would more see an AFC team. But, you know, who was that team?
Yeah,
the Raiders?
Possibly.
And to me, like, the Raiders make sense for Matthew Stafford. The Raiders make sense for Shador Sanders. The Raiders, you know, maybe even like a Justin Fields to the Raiders could make sense as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think
they're not going to the Super Bowl.
No.
The Jets are not going to the Super Bowl.
Giants aren't either.
Right. So you got to take stock of what you have, who you are, and then try to figure out, okay, how do we become really competitive? And the best way to do that is to draft as many quality defensive and offensive linemen as you can.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you 4 free 5G phones and 4 lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well-qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Cohen yesterday after our show ended, and he said a couple of interesting things in there. But I mean, right now he's feeling himself, and he should. And he, because he got Soto, because he got Alonso back, and because of the team going to the NLCS last year and going on that magical run, and he's in the clubhouse with the champagne, he's feeling himself, but he's talking freely.
Good. I mean, as the owner of my team, I'm happy. The guy wants to win in a worse way.
Of course.
And I will say this too, and I know a lot of fans will probably roll their eyes. Jim Bowen wants to win too. He just doesn't express himself the way that Steve Cohen does.
Sure. Yeah.
And Steve Cohen is so much more open than Jim Dolan ever is. And when Jim Dolan does get open, unfortunately, it's usually some sort of controversy surrounding the garden.
Exactly. So if Jim Dolan says something, because all the history is some of those bad years and those bad hires, is going to get crushed. When Steve Cohen says a couple of things that are controversial, he's going to get away with it. I wouldn't say controversial, but things that fans don't necessarily love to hear. And two things he said yesterday was, Vlad Guerrero is going to be a free agent. They didn't reach an agreement up in Toronto, and he said, listen, the reality of this thing is having two double-digit year giant contracts is not something that's sustainable.
So, number one, he shouldn't be talking about Vlad Guerrero at all.
Well, but I think he probably said, they asked that question, and he probably prefaced it so it's not tampering, but talking in general about free agents and how expensive it is and all of that. So that's like, you don't love to hear that because you want to spend as much money, you don't want to care. But of course, it is a reality, that competitive balance tax. And he also got on the fans for not showing up last year.
Well, they got off to a horrendous start.
I know why they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, like,
and I'm never getting on fans for not buying tickets. I will never do that and tell people what they should be doing or what they should be spending money on. I think that is just a terrible thing.
I'll say this, that going to Citi Field, as much as I love going there and as much as I love watching a baseball game there, because it truly is a baseball park, you feel that way when you're there. You have a great... I've never, even when the Mets have lost, we went last year. We had a great time with the kids and everything.
I brought that
else
up the other day.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, like, it's a great, and it's so easy to get to, and so easy, from the train and all of that from Manhasset. It's all that stuff is easy.
Yeah.
But the point is that I don't want to go in April. I don't want to go like when it's raining and it's freezing cold. I don't want to go on a Wednesday night.
No, right. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't want to do that. But I will say this, and it goes back to what those guys that were talking about in the afternoon. If they had a dome, it would be unbelievable. You'd want to go to the games. You'd want to be inside. You'd want to enjoy it. You wouldn't have to sit through rain delays and all sorts of crap and listen to the planes go overhead and all that. I know that's part of the charm of where the baseball park is. But if they were able to put a dome on that thing, it would be money.
A retractable roof would be awesome.
Yes.
There for 100%. It's a hard thing to argue. It doesn't sound like it's something that is in the cards right now, but maybe with the full renovation and the casino there years down the road.
I don't know. Well, they would have to rip this place down. I mean, it's beautiful. And quite frankly, Jeff Wilpon was the one that developed this thing.
Yeah.
And it is gorgeous. They didn't have the money, obviously, to maybe even think about putting a dome over it. But that's what it is. It's a beautiful baseball park, and it's beautiful June through September.
Yeah. I mean, it is expensive to bring a family of four. We talk about those things, and these are things that come up. So sometimes it's just, people pick one or two games to go to during the year, and even if they're a diehard Mets fan. And it's also so easy these days to consume so much of the content. Now, going to a baseball game and bringing a kid to a baseball game is something that you can't experience when you're in your living room watching on TV. So there's always going to be the charm of that. But it's tough when you get an owner that's kind of getting on the fans a little bit for not showing up.
He is spending so much money.
I understand from his perspective, but that's not something you say publicly.
I wasn't upset so much by the way he said it, just simply because if he didn't put his own money where his mouth is, then I would not, then I'd have a problem with it. Like, if you told me you were spending $250 million on your team, which is a lot of money to be spending on a baseball team, as opposed to 315 or whatever, 320, whatever it is right now, I would just say, you know what? go screw. But the fact that he has put his own money there and that both he and his wife are actively involved in every aspect, and Jose Iglesias told us that.
Yep.
To me, I don't know. He's allowed to blow off a little steam in that regard, and I think the fan base will support him, and they want to support a winner. He went out and got Soto, so now there are no excuses. And if the fans don't show up, and what would they average, like 18,000 a game last year or something?
Or I think there were 18th in attendance.
In attendance.
Yeah, that's what I think it was.
So what is that, about 24, 25,000 a game?
I'm not sure. I just know that it ranked lower than he wanted to when it was in the...
Well, he'd like it to be in the top five, like his salary structure
this year. You know, and he mentioned how attendance lags with performance, which is true. You know, where last year they had all this great success, and then they had the offseason they had, so there's going to be an uptick in attendance for sure.
And I think sponsorship.
Oh, yeah.
And they just announced that SNY is going on the MLB app.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, if you have SNY on your cable, you still get SNY.
I want to be in one of these meetings where they decide on how much they're going to charge for these things and explain to me why they do what they do.
I think
I want to be in a meeting with the Mics On app and decide how they came up with whatever they came up with. Like, at the time, was more expensive than Netflix Mics app.
Well, he was reinventing Twitter.
Right, but like, where did they come up with like the $150 for a year, $25 a month? Like when you go, if you actually go through the numbers and you're not some sort of meathead, like, there's definitely an easier way to go about it, and a more cost efficient way to go about it.
Well, let's say you have Spectrum or you have Optum,
okay,
and you're buying your package from Spectrum and Optimum. They know how much money that you're spending to see the games through your cable outlets.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Al
looks like Elvis right now when there's a steak on the counter.
I know, he hates it.
No, he loves it.
Oh,
no,
he does?
No. He's like, you could see him, he's like sitting politely, but he's also drooling.
Right, but this thing that they're doing with the app is for people who have cut the cord. That's why they're doing it, because it's not on Fubo. And it's not on YouTube TV.
Right.
So they have to create somewhere for you to go and get it and pay for it. And instead of coming to a deal with Fubo or coming to a deal with YouTube TV, they decided to go into bed with MLB and MLB's app, because MLB has had to save a number of these regional sports networks already, the Bally Sports Networks, and MLB has already done deals with other teams.
I guess, and I don't necessarily want to go too into the weeds with this part of it, but like, if you're someone who cut the cord,
yes,
and went to a service that didn't have SNY on it because it was more important to you to save money than to watch the Mets, why in the hell would you buy this app?
You're not going to. It's only if you're a Met fan and you're streaming.
But right,
you either had to have the SNY app, but why handle the app yourself when you could do it through MLB? But by the way, MLB, I want to say MLB BAM, maybe, was one of the first apps that came out and had some of the best technology for what they were doing at the time. And I think that's one of the reasons why they decided, why wouldn't we work within our own framework with MLB as opposed to a third party?
Yeah, it just seems like the person that they're targeting with this is small, I guess is what I would say, because you would probably keep SNY on your regular cable and then...
This is a cord cutter.
Right,
so that... In the industry that's all about this stuff, which I'm very into, they price this app so that you don't want to get it. So that you still go, you know what? It's probably worth it more. I'll get the other channels. I'll just pay the $80, $90.
So you feel like they're pushing people back towards the cable companies.
Correct. They're saying this is available if you want it.
Right.
But it's so expensive, you don't really want it. Do it this way, where we can get more people that don't watch to pay for it.
Yeah, it's too bad that they, you know, couldn't come to agreement with YouTube TV or Fubo. That, you know, that's the thing.
Well, it's on DirecTV Stream, but that's gotten expensive at this point. So
they're all expensive. I mean, every single one.
YouTube TV was not, and now it's becoming expensive. You know, I mean, a couple years ago it was like $64 for the whole kit and caboodle, and it's up to in the 80s now. You know, and that unfortunately, and then they had that. Luckily, they brokered the deal with CBS, but they were going right down the path taking something that was great and just setting it on fire.
Well, you got Fubo, you got YouTube TV, you got Roku, you got MLB TV now, you got the Gotham app, you got Schnurf
is out there.
You got Optimum, you got Peacock. I mean, it's nonstop. Everybody is trying to get their piece of the pie. And it's everything that the really frustrating thing about all of it is that not everything is in one place. Like it used to be on cable television.
Yeah. I mean,
all on cable television, it was all in one place, but you couldn't a la carte it. And then when you started to a la carte it and then people started losing money, then they had to figure out other ways to raise revenue. And that's, you know, when ESPN Plus came out and then they started with that whole that whole money grab.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a transition.
Now we got New York Post Plus.
Yeah,
we got ESPN Plus.
You don't have to pay for any of these things, really.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. You know,
wouldn't it be nice if you could watch the Yankees and the Mets and you could switch back and forth on cable, which was so much easier?
Well, you can. It's available to you. You could keep cable and have Optimum and do that.
Yeah.
So.
This is a tough day for the older Yankee fan. With the facial hair policy changing and also finding out that Aaron Boone got an extension. You know, he's no Billy Martin. He got that. And now this facial hair thing with the well-groomed beard.
I don't know. I'm an Aaron Boone fan. I think that the fact that he took his team to the World Series last year, even though they lost and they were embarrassed the way they lost, I would still say that he was more than deserving of a contract extension and should not have had to go into a season as a lame duck manager.
Yeah, and it's either you let him go or you give him an extension. That over your head is a tough way to do business.
We remember going into last NFL season, it was Mike McCarthy who had that contract situation. This year, it will be Nick Sirianni if they don't get a deal done with him in Philadelphia.
Well, you know, much like the Yankees who won the American League, you know, you had the Eagles who won the Super Bowl, so you would expect that extension to get done. But you know, it's weird because you say, hey, they got to the World Series, so you can't fire the manager. But they also did fire Joe Girardi after a really good season.
Yeah, but that was like a 10-year span, a 10-year run. Joe Torre had a 10-year run. It usually seems to be like the, you know, kind of like the extension of a manager, I guess, in Major League Baseball, the way that Brian Cashman sees it. But I think he really does like Aaron Boone. I think Aaron Boone's a good manager for them because he's willing to collaborate and not fight, you know, the analytics part of it.
Yeah.
And there is a connection. I don't care what anybody says. There's definitely a connection between him and Aaron Judge. That is a positive connection. And if your captain is happy, your best player is happy, then it's easy for the manager to be the manager, you know, with everybody else and hold everybody else accountable, especially if your best player is somebody like Aaron Judge.
I know they got a lot of new players, the Yankees, this year, but I hope that the guys that were here last year take everything that happened personally. You know, that whole Dodgers crapping on them after the World Series, the whole things that they're hearing about how, you know, the Mets take Soto away and the Mets are built more for the future. You already heard Aaron Judge respond to that, and Soto said, you know, I think that Mets are better set up to win in the future. So, like, all those things I hope they take personally and play with a chip on their shoulder and have an edge and just not kind of have your ho-hum Yankees season. You want to see some energy. You want to see some fight.
You feel like the Paul Goldschmidt thing feels like, you know, here we got an older guy. Is he going to be able to play over 100 games? Is he going to be batting like 210?
Well, yeah, right. I mean, obviously. I mean, like,
what is going to be the situation? This is, again, they go down, and again, this is a cheap signing. It's not that big of a deal. And he obviously has the pedigree. But then again, you know, so have so many other players that they have brought here that have never, ever been able to live up to what they accomplished in other places.
Yeah, and I don't really get on the Yankees for bringing in some of these older veterans on short deals because they have a window with Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge at these ages where they're still at the top of their games, and it's not going to be like that forever. You know, I mean, you get Gerrit Cole. How old's Gerrit Cole now? 36? No, it's got to be younger than that. It's got to be 34, I want to say. And
34,
I know
34, nailed it.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole's 34, and Aaron Judge is 33 this season, I think. So you still got those guys.
Maybe you got about three to four more years.
Yeah, so that's why it's like, okay, you know, you bring in a veteran on a short-term contract. That's why they're talking about also Nolan Arenado at third base. They acquire him. They could find
guys break down so much.
But you're not counting on them for 15 years like the Mets are counting on Soto, you know?
No, I know that. I don't like 15-year deals either.
Yeah.
I don't care how old a guy is. Unless he's 21, then maybe I would consider it, and you're buying out some of his years to save some money on the back end of it. That totally, I understand that. But I don't know. I'm as great as Soto is as a hitter, he is not a five-tool player.
Well,
he is not Aaron Judge. Okay, he's not Shohei Ohtani. He's not either one of those players.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely in the postseason a lot better player and hitter than Aaron Judge is. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. But he's heard all that noise. He knows about it. He said he's working on his defense. We'll see. Maybe he comes in as best. Maybe he has his best defensive year ever this year. Who knows?
Well, he needs to have 15 years of his best defensive years for the money they're paying him.
Yeah.
I understand why Steve Cohen did it. I'm not disgusted that he's on the team. It's not my money. It's his money. But it's hard for me to believe, especially now with Major League Baseball and ESPN splitting up.
Yeah.
Think about what are these baseball teams actually worth?
I mean, if this is a conversation we have had many times, I don't understand how they're worth what they're worth. Some of these other teams, I mean, I get the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Giants. I understand those, but and that's really going to hurt Major League Baseball not having that. You see what ESPN can do with that. Even today, when it's not as big as it used to be, with their promotional, everybody, you know, the tush push that they have promotionally,
yes,
they get eyeballs on things that don't normally get eyeballs. Like, for example, this Four Nations, ESPN was a big part of putting that out there.
Yeah, I mean, them TNT and, you know, obviously was too, but more ESPN because that's where people go for sports.
Yeah.
And that's why that game was on ESPN last night.
I'm telling you, if that TGL was on the Golf Channel, there wouldn't be a single person watching it. But because ESPN puts it on there and Scott Van Pelt, they're interviewing Tiger and Rory after the matches and they're, you know, they've got their whole push there.
That, the cross promotion, as you said, the tush push across the goal line is certainly a big advantage for them to promote anything. This is why them and Major League Baseball, I don't know what Major League Baseball is going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going to go. But that is a, in my eyes, at least right now, is a huge loss. Forget about the money part of it for a second. Just the exposure part of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
And how many shows were just dedicated to baseball? Because they were on ESPN.
Of course. I mean, fewer as we've gone on the years, but I mean, Sunday Night Baseball. So this year, for people to know, there still will be ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. There'll be baseball on ESPN this year. It's the end of this season that the deal is done, and ESPN will not be engaging with Major League Baseball any longer. So, you know, I don't know where they go, but I mentioned this earlier too. That was the time Gary Bettman thought he took a great deal with OLN back in the day and left ESPN. It was one of the worst decisions he could have ever made. This one, though, has been made by ESPN, not by Major League Baseball.
I just wonder if it goes back to the MLB app and with the streaming services, you know, I guess NY is done with the MLB app now. I'm just wondering if that is going to be more pronounced than more center focused around all of baseball as opposed to, you know, farming it out or receiving money from somebody else to do it. Why not just keep it in-house if we can do it?
You were Boomstradamus, but you weren't Boomstradamus in the right way, unfortunately. You said 3-2 overtime, but it was this damn Canadians. You know, and I was thinking, I was driving in, I was like, you know, they can have this because they got nothing else. We were trying to think of the stuff that they have. The maple syrup, slightly better than Vermont. Tim Hortons, which, Dunkin', we slam on top of them. I mean, they don't have anything. So you could have this little cute thing. We'll see in the Olympics. That other game where we beat you up and won, that's more important on that Saturday night than last night anyway. So you can have this fakakta tournament, and we'll take a gold medal next time. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Gene. I think we'd be taking a victory lap if we would have won last night.
Of course we were.
I will say, there is nothing more exhilarating than an overtime hockey game that really does have meaning to it, even though you're not playing for anything other than national pride. But there's nothing more deflating than losing that overtime hockey game, especially after there were numerous chances to win it on the stick of Auston Matthews. And I don't know, Jordan Binnington was amazing. He's the goalie for Canada. He plays for the St. Louis Blues. That performance that he had last night was much like the performance he had when they won, the Blues won the Stanley Cup against Boston in that building.
Yeah.
So when we were going into this whole thing, we said, okay, there's really good balance on both sides of the rosters, and maybe the difference, the slight difference, is going to be the best goalie in the world. That's Connor Hellebuck, who was the USA goalie, versus Jordan Binnington. Maybe he would give up a goal here or there, and maybe we would end up winning. But the couple saves that he made in overtime last night were just awesome. The whole thing was awesome. I congratulate the NHL. I really, really do congratulate the players. It was an amazing experience. And what were they playing for? They were playing for pride. They love their game. The culture of their game is in such a great spot. The younger players on both of these teams are going to turn out to be superstars themselves. As a hockey fan, as a dyed-in-the-wool hockey fan, I loved every minute of it. I watched almost every single minute of every single game.
Yeah. And
so it to me, while it's disappointing, I wake up this morning, I know it was an exhibition. I would have loved to have won a G. All I can tell you is that, man, these guys played their asses off, and a lot of guys are injured because of it, which now begs the question, what's more important, the NHL season or an in-season tournament or a mid-season tournament that really doesn't have any effect or doesn't have any effect whatsoever on the outcome of the NHL season?
So that, yeah, then there's a very specific injury and specific player that this speaks to, and that's Matthew Tkachuk.
Well, it's also Charlie McAvoy for the Bruins.
Yeah, but last night, especially, and the reason why, too, is because Charlie McAvoy, there was no doubt about it. Like, he had his arm in a sling when he was gassing everybody up in the dressing room before the game. But with Tkachuk last night, I'm pretty sure that one of the Panthers' doctors is there.
You're not playing.
Right. So there was like the answer to that question. And Emily Kaplan said that if there was another power play at some point, maybe in the overtime or the end, that he was probably going to be out there for that. But other than that, then he wasn't going to get on the ice.
I mean, you know, it's a part of it. They lost Cal Makar in the previous game. He was sick. And, you know, he obviously is a difference maker. But these two teams are so tight and so talented. And, again, as a hockey fan, I appreciate the effort that these players put forth. This was so much more than an exhibition. And I think maybe geopolitical influences have something going on. And,
But that's great. Yeah, I mean, some of the greatest moments in sports have happened during those times.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So Russians, United States back in 1980.
Some of the Olympic stuff that's gone on over there. I mean, it's that is, you know, when you get that cross-pollination of those things, I mean, people get really emotional about it. And I did end up going out for the first period because, you know, I just wanted to. I had some energy. I was like, let me go out with a couple buddies for the first period. And I was curious to see what it would be like. That people are on break, you know, with teachers and stuff. So there's some people that are, you know, don't have work on Friday. But I mean, the place was just jammed.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
With old USA paraphernalia, not just like hockey jerseys, but just hats with flags and everything. And they were totally into it, and it was a fun thing to experience. And you know, I think that all of us, including myself, have maybe looked maybe too deep into this whole thing, and we're dissecting every little bit of it. You know, this morning it's sort of like, you know, this was fun. This was a really good thing. It was fun. It came at the right time, at a slow time in sports, and we all enjoyed it. It sucks that Canada beat us in the final, but this is like a positive, good thing in the end. And there's no reason to have, you know, negative feelings about this tournament. You can be pissed off today because we lost. But by the way, was it Auston Matthews? Was he getting a little lazy there on that
thing?
Yeah,
well, I would say lazy, but, you know, he's a little tired. I mean, he's going back and forth 200 feet, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you're playing against who many consider the greatest player of his era, Connor McDavid, is sitting there. I mean, you know,
all
I can tell you is, I was thinking, man, I just don't want to see Sidney Crosby score again in overtime and beat the U.S.
Was that 15 years ago now?
I mean, you know, the interesting thing is, too, is Mitch Marner was a big part of a couple of the goals last night.
I've seen him shirtless.
Yeah, I know you have.
Yeah,
and Mitch is a good dude, man. I sent him congratulations last night.
Saw him shirtless. Yeah,
yes, you did at Sydney's wedding. Yes.
If you guys stayed long enough, you saw him shirtless.
Yeah, they saw him. They saw him shirtless. I think I saw Al shirtless too.
That was my cue to leave when all the hockey players were shirtless and on tables. Is that right?
Agreed. See ya. It's like I said. It's probably the best thing that could happen to the sport. For those of us who love the sport and are now on to the regular season again, and the Rangers have back-to-back this weekend, which is amazing, and for the Ranger players are going to have to figure out somehow, some way, and Ray Ferraro was talking about this last night, how do you get yourself back up to get back into your job? It's going to take a week or so, but I don't know. I loved every minute of the whole thing. All these games, with the exception of one, was a blowout. And that was U.S. Versus Finland, and every game was tight. Every game was, all came down to the end. I mean, that's exactly what you want. So it's disappointing you lose, but it's also exhilarating to see the best in the world put the effort forth for their countries. And I love the patriotism on both sides.
Yeah, but I mean, it was
a
little.
Could you imagine, man, when we make them our 51st state, just how good our hockey team's really going
to
be?
Yeah, I know. No one will be able to beat us.
Stop us.
But you get Bissonnette last night, who I actually like him.
He's a Canadian. Come on.
I know he's a Canadian, but I'm saying he's just so over the top with it. Just the whole thing, McJesus has risen and you can't take our sport and all this stuff. And then Trudeau comes out and posts on social media, you can't take our country, you can't take our sport. It's like, okay, wait a second. So if the U.S. would have won, we would have taken your sport? Is that what would have happened? Because we beat you once already. Now, basically, the way I look at this, there should be a best of three. You know, we won once, they won once. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just...
It's a best of three. Let's run it back tonight.
I mean, isn't Trudeau, leaving office?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Can't take our country, can't take our sport.
Well, he was just responding to Trump's pregame.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Trump called him.
Trump touched the money spot, I think.
No, Trump wished them luck. And you know what? If you are an American hockey player and the president of the United States, no matter who it is, if they could wake the previous guy up to actually make the phone call, I mean, you're going to take the phone call and you're going to say, thank you, Mr. President. We'll do everything we can our jersey, our country, that's who we're playing for. And we're playing for, unfortunately, our fallen teammate, Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah. Let's see if I can.
He didn't say anything that was touching the money.
I didn't think so either. But
not at all. I mean, people hear, jackasses hear what they want to hear.
You calling Eddie a jackass?
No, I'm just saying certain jackasses hear what they want to hear. And he didn't say anything other than good luck, guys. And
I called them. They're a great team. I remember that. I'm trying to find the full thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. And they are a great team.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not a shock that Eddie is taking the side of Canada this morning. It's just not, it is not a shock.
Should move to Canada.
He probably will, now that I'm thinking about it.
Saskatoon or something. What'd you say, Medicine Hat?
Medicine Hat. That's my favorite. Saskatoon is another great one. All right, here we go. I will be calling our great American hockey team this morning to spur them on towards victory tonight against Canada, which with far lower taxes and much stronger security will someday, maybe soon, become our cherished.
Oh, come on.
And
that
very
is a
important
touch the money spot.
51st state. He didn't say they were going to win, though. Are we talking touch the money as far as a Canada being the 51st state?
Yes.
All right, well, that's a different argument. We talk about touch the money in a sports way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, he's been talking about this since he took office, man. Come on. Those people are living under oppression, Eddie. You know this.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's why you have a financial advisor. So things like that, you protect yourself in the future.
You weren't rooting for Canada last night because of this.
No.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't even aware that of what happened until after, because I went to sleep.
You were asleep. He's asleep at 6:30. Yeah. How could you be asleep at 6:30?
Well, he gets up earlier than us.
And one.
I know. It's a different situation.
He's not a napper as much as I'm a napper.
It's a whole thing. Everybody's got their own deal. He's here. He's ready to go. That's all we need.
Yes, and we all know you can't believe everything you read online.
Barnacle parasite thing.
That's exactly
that
right.
Attaches themselves to these polar bears.
Yeah. Help us. Get these barnacles off.
I can laugh at that. I can definitely laugh at that. That's fine.
firing today.
Yeah, well, he is.
What did you do
today
to him?
I don't know.
He's just over there throwing grenades.
No, I know, but this is just the angry liberal in him. Like, you know, the rest of us are happy. So now he's just angry. What can I tell you?
Listen, man. Like, I have a feeling that when Al woke up and he asked Alexa who won the game and it said Canada, he was just like, gave like one of those, it stinks. When Eddie woke up and put on Scott Van Pelt and saw, he was like, oh, that's too bad. Now I know I can go after the big guy today. And he drank a cup of maple syrup and he walked out of the house. And I think he was happy about this. That's what I think.
He might have been. He might have been.
I think deep down he might have been happy about it.
Two Shedeur Sanders things. Probably not big deals and where he's going to go, but I wanted to let you know that he is in tune with this stuff and what's going on.
Oh, he knows what's going on.
He knows what's going
on. Yes, he does.
So Daniel Jeremiah, who does draft stuff all the time, is even on TV during the draft.
Most of these guys that cover the draft, it all started, obviously, way back when with the great Mel Kiper.
That's right, of course.
It all started with him, and then he spawned this whole group of people that really got into the draft, and they all do their homework. They know what they're doing, and they all have very strong opinions about players.
Right, so I apologize. It wasn't Daniel Jeremiah. I re-looked. It's Field Yates. Field Yates, another one of these interchangeable
draft guys. But I love Field Yates because you know why? He gave the NHL Four Nations Classic a lot of love and basically said that the NBA, the NFL, or should be embarrassed by what we're watching here.
Yeah.
Because this is not an all-star game. This is basically a tournament that's kind of made up instead of the all-star game.
And but next year they're going to go back to the all-star game, right?
Yeah, well, next year they have the Olympics.
Okay. So
and this is why this the Ukrainian-Russian war guy get over with. Putin's going to want his team in the Olympics.
Only you could go to Field Yates to Putin that quickly. You're the only man in America who can do that. So Field Yates puts out a mock draft, and he's got Shedeur Sanders. Where do you think he's got Shedeur Sanders?
Number going? Seven going to the Jets.
No, he's got him going sixth to the Raiders.
I've been saying it for a year now that would make a ton of sense to me, just simply because the Raiders need a little shot in the arm, and having Pete Carroll and Shedeur Sanders, or Pete Carroll and Matthew Stafford, or Pete Carroll and Aaron Rodgers makes sense to me, all three of those.
Yeah, so that is, he would have to drop in that scenario. Certainly. So he, with the Raiders in this mock draft, what do you think Shedeur Sanders' reaction to seeing this mock draft? Deion Sanders Jr., his brother, asked him about this mock draft.
I would tell you that he is completely, I won't say ticked off by it, but I would just say denounced it as he knows he's going higher than that.
Absolutely 100% nailed it. Quote, "That's cap, bruh. I ain't going sixth."
That's cap.
That's cap, bro.
And I should have said that back in 1984. That cap, bro. I'm going to go 38.
That would have been amazing if that clip existed. Yes. And I ran it back.
Shedeur, much like Boomer Esiason back in the 80s. But yeah, so he does not believe that he's going to drop to number six to the Raiders in this Field Yates mock draft. The Giants are taking Cam Ward at number three. We'll see how it plays out.
Who did
out.
He have going as number one, Travis Hunter? Or,
yes.
And then at number two, I would say Abdul Carter?
I think so. I did not see that in this particular
I think those
write-up.
Are two, like, those are two generational players. And I know the offensive tackle from LSU is really climbing the board. I mean, he had already been projected a top 10 pick. He might end up being a top 5 pick.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it was, is Travis Hunter followed by Abdul Carter.
Where do they and Cam Ward to who? The Giants?
Giants at three, yeah. Will Campbell.
Look, I'm just telling you, I don't think any of these guys are worth the top 10, but, you know, the fact, quarterback wise, I'm just telling you that they're going to end up going just simply because teams are going to be reaching for need and praying to God that the guy that they select doesn't turn out to be what Zach Wilson was for the Jets or what Sam Darnold was for the Jets, and that they're mature enough to actually have an impact on the team when they get there.
Well, I also think that the success of a lot of those rookie quarterbacks last year in some way, shape, or form with Jaden Daniels leading the charge is also one of the reasons why you're going to see both those guys go high in Ward and Sanders, and also other quarterbacks that will work their way into the first round.
The one thing about last year's draft, and we all knew the top three quarterbacks, and when you looked at the offseason, the Hard Knocks with the Giants,
And the moment that Brian Daboll says, Jaden Daniels, yeah, I'll take him. I mean, we all knew what the entire NFL thought of Jaden Daniels.
Indeed.
Now, we all knew what Caleb Williams was going to be. We all knew he was going to be number one. So that was no surprise. I don't think there was any surprise that Drake May went number three. I don't think there was no surprises there.
Nope.
For me, the biggest surprise, and I was happy to see it happen, was Michael Penix Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest surprise. Nobody thought that the Falcons were going to do that because they had signed Kirk Cousins to that big deal.
And I also think Bo Nix was a surprise, not as much as Michael Penix, and I think that overshadowed it, the Penix thing. But Bo Nix at 12 was not something we were talking about going into the draft. I think that that was something that was...
I want to remind you one thing. I think we had Phil Simms on before the draft last year, and he was saying how much Sean Payton loved Bo Nix.
Okay.
He was saying that, and he wasn't projecting him to go there. He just said, you know, Sean Payton loves Bo Nix. He knew that. And so I guess for Phil, it wasn't that much of a shock. Maybe for the rest of us, it was. But it turned out that he was with the right environment for Bo Nix and his personality. And that's what people are thinking about Jackson Dart now.
Right, so that always happens. There'll be the out-of-nowhere guy that was not projected to go in the first round, who ends up going in the top 15, maybe even at the top 10. This will happen again this year. I am sure of it. But the other thing, Shedeur Sanders-related, is these guys, all the young prospects, their lives are out there and streaming video games or on any sort of social media platform. So Shedeur Sanders playing Madden. He apparently only plays with one team on Madden.
The Giants.
No. It was a shock to me. Absolute shock.
He only plays.
And he said, I like the way this team moves on offense. Now, none of those things, like the clue of me being shocked by it is a good clue. Him saying, I like the way these guys move on offense is not a clue because I don't see it. I don't think you would see it. But it was.
AFC or NFC?
AFC and a team that could absolutely have the opportunity to draft
him. Titans.
No.
Browns.
Yeah. Loves playing with the Browns on Madden. I like the way these guys move on offense. Browns?
On Madden, maybe.
Yeah, but geez. I guess they were moving a little bit when Jameis Winston and Jerry Jeudy were hooking up there for a couple of weeks.
How about when Joe Flacco was in there?
Well, that was a previous year, yeah, indeed. But this past year, and then when, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson went there, they probably had less than 100 yards of offense.
Well, maybe he's thinking that he can get the Browns interested in him, just like Johnny Manziel did.
Yeah, but that's the one team, though.
Ugh.
That's the one franchise that's up there. I know the Titans haven't been great, but they've had more success than the Browns.
You know, their coach, Kevin Stefanski, has been a two-time NFL Coach of the Year as the Browns.
Yeah.
I love the guy as a coach. I feel bad for that coach to deal with that freaking ownership.
Mm. I know. The Haslams are not, they're not looked upon positively.
By the way, you know, they have, when you take a look at their draft this year, I want to say they're either second or third when it comes to draft capital going into this year's draft. And if they want to trade Myles Garrett, they could still get Abdul Carter, still get another quarterback in his draft, sign another stopgap guy if they want to.
Yeah.
Save money by trading Myles Garrett to somebody who will give them a ransom. I mean, they could rebuild their team if they do this right.
Yeah. But will this, they? Because they never do.
This would be have to be something like Philadelphia did with Carson Wentz. This would have to be something like the Lions did with Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff. Like, you have to get back something so significant. And with the draft that they have this year, and with what they could get from the Myles Garrett trade, they would be sitting sober. That's what I would do. If I were them, that's what I would do.
Man, there have been so many general managers that have run through there that were going to be the savior. John Dorsey, Ray Farmer. Remember this one? Sashi Brown.
Yep.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, I do.
And then their first couple of years they were there, they were lauded for what they did, and then all of a sudden everything fell apart.
You know what? The Browns are the number one team in terms of power rankings when it comes to the amount of draft picks they have.
Well, hell, they should be.
I know that, but you think about this right now. They got 5 picks in the top 103 players. Then they have another 4,
seven picks after that. They got 12 picks this year. And they could set themselves up with a Myles Garrett trade for next year's draft as well.
We begin with baseball sound, and that's where we'll start.
Well, there were some things. There was also another thing that pissed me off at spring training as well that I said, okay, there's two sports topics now, and it's spring training stuff is pissing you off. You gotta go, like, I don't know what I need to do, like smoke some hookah or something, or go get a massage.
Bite the steering wheel.
Yeah, like just something. I need to do something to relax.
Frustrated over there, huh?
Yeah, over dumb things. Mm. It's just silly. But the whole Frankie Montas thing got to me. But anyway, go ahead.
Yes, we'll get to that in a second. But we did hear first from Pete Alonso, since he re-signed with the Mets and looked and sounded like the Pete we've come to know and love. Happy, jovial, goofy, and thrilled to be back.
Throughout the entire offseason, we had the best dialogue from the Mets, and like that was it. Like, and for us, like this was the best opportunity, and for me, and I mean, I'm just really happy to be back. I mean, this was it.
Well, it certainly didn't seem that simple throughout the long process, especially when Steve Cohen expressed
just one thing here, Seal. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. The one thing about this Pete Alonso press conference. So I've talked many times about how, like, I wish I could just totally get rid of social media and some of the things, but then if I did, like, you'd miss good things from listeners or funny suggestions. And this is one of those things where it just made me smile when someone was a listener to this show. So Evan tweets out or posts on X yesterday, "We are airing the Pete Alonso press conference live right now on The Fan."
Oh, no.
And Shark Jones writes to me, "Feed up mail-in spot ?" G-U-W-F-A-N. Which is, this is my guy right here. I don't know where Shark Jones is. I don't know who you are, but we are on the same level. So I will ask Al, because he is our true radio director at heart, but doesn't want to work that hard. Is that a feed up mail-in spot?
Correct. There's no controversy about this press conference. He's not going to say anything interesting. It's not breaking news. It's 100% feed up spot.
Yeah, feed up spot on President's Day, no less. You know, so not a lot of people took it off. So it's like, you know, it's President's Day. We could just air this press conference.
If it was Aaron Rodgers who's holding his own press conference, yes, I'm interested in that live.
Because we haven't heard from him. We haven't heard from Pete, but Pete's also never said anything controversial ever.
Not controversial, but there was some good stuff.
There was some good stuff, but, you know, there's a difference between playing the good stuff when it's over as opposed to airing the press conference.
It's also Evan, though, and he lives for this stuff. He's a baseball nerd and a geek and a Met fan, wanted Pete back. So, you know, he was in there. He didn't have his feet up, checked out. He was all, you know, pumped up.
So you're saying geek spot, not feet up mail-in spot.
Maybe feet up for the rest of the afternoon show, but not for Evan.
All right, very good.
All right, so you did have Cohen, of course, expressing that frustration with the negotiations when he spoke at Amazing Day at Citi Field. But we know Cohen and David Stearns flew to Tampa to meet with Pete and Scott Boras to get the deal done. Here was Cohen with Howie Rose on the latest edition of Meet at the Apple, talking about what turned out to be a pivotal decision for them.
I just wanted to make sure that he heard from us how we felt about him. I just felt like he deserved that respect. He's been a great Met for a long time. He's a fan favorite. And I thought there was a real opportunity to sit down with him and kind of hash it out.
Which they did, with little help, as it turned out, from the super agent.
Had a great conversation over a few hours. And frankly, Pete did all the talking. I mean, Scott Boras was there. And Scott didn't say a freaking word the whole time. And I was like, I turned to him, I go, I just want to make sure your pulse is, you know, you're still breathing over there. Okay? Because
That's not easy, by the way.
Yeah, that was like, I was like, surprised.
I think any of us would have been surprised to learn that, even though we get it at that point, it was about Cohen and Alonso probably finding the middle ground. But for the Pete fired the original agent, went to Boras to get the deal, which he ultimately didn't get. And then in the end, he basically has no say.
Pete also said that a lot of guys in the locker room called him during this process.
I'm sure they
did.
They
talked about Manai and Lindor. They called him and said, listen, man, we want you here. We need you here. I know you got to do what you got to do, but you want it. And that always feels good, too, especially with guys in the locker room with you.
I want to talk about a feed-up spot. That's what it was for Scott Boras. Yeah. He's like, I did what I needed to do this offseason. I got Juan Soto that contract. I'm not going to get a ton of commission off of this. I'm just going to show up here. I'm going to look at my phone to see what time it is, let Pete do all the talking, and get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Well, back to Alonso, last one before we move on. He was asked if he shared Cohen's sentiment that the negotiations were exhausting along the way.
Not for me.
Maybe for Scott.
Yeah, we were good. We were all good. I guess that means we're Sorry, Steve.
What am I missing with this? Everybody seemed to understand it. Everyone laughs. Like, what?
I play it again because I don't understand it.
Yeah,
either.
I mean, there must have been some context that I missed.
Not for me.
Maybe for Scott.
For us.
Yeah, we were good. We were all good. I guess that means we're...
Oh.
Sorry, Steve.
No, this is what it was. Because actually, I did see this yesterday. He was asked, Steve Cohen said that the process was exhausting. Was it exhausting for you? And he said, not for me.
No, I know that.
And then he said at the end, he was like, sorry, Steve, because it was exhausting for him.
Yeah, but it seemed like he caught it, like he was going to say something and kind of checked himself there in the middle of that answer. I was just wondering what he was.
I just don't think he's particularly
back.
Bright.
Okay.
You know?
Fair enough.
That's what it comes down to.
That's my good point.
The Mets have the option. They have the option at the end of this year to get out of it, right?
He does.
Pete
does.
Yeah.
He's guaranteed if he stays for next year, I think it's an additional $24 million.
Mm.
But if he has a big year, he can opt out and see if he can get paid again in free agency. As Gio alluded to, though, not all fun and games for the Mets, as one of their buy low starting pitching acquisitions from the offseason is already sidelined. And like Giancarlo Stanton, this is a guy who is often injured, and that is Frankie Montas. The Mets have shut him down already for 6 to 8 weeks. High-grade lat strain, I guess, seemingly from the throwing program he was working with as he was getting ready for spring training. So a guy who we saw injured with the A's and the Yankees and another stop is going to begin the year on the IL and miss significant
time.
Yeah,
and that is the argument that should be used for this. If you're someone who wants to get on David Stearns, it's the injury history. It's not because the thing that I heard yesterday is definitely because the Yankee-Met thing is hotter than it's been since the year 2000 with the fan bases because of what happened with Juan Soto and everything else and the way that the Yankees lost in the World Series after the Mets played the Dodgers. It's intense and it's great. But you cannot, if you criticize that signing after he gets hurt, goes, well, look at the rotation now. What are you going to do? Now Montas is hurt. I mean, you told us that he sucks and he was going to get hurt. So don't tell me that the rotation now is worse because he's hurt. You expected he was going to get hurt. You told me that he sucked. So what is it? It's not a big loss if he sucks. You cannot say he sucks and then say it's a big loss for the Mets.
The big loss is that we already felt, or most people felt, myself included, that they didn't have a ton of depth there and a lot of question marks.
The injury part of it is right. You're right. The way you framed it is right.
Yeah, yeah.
But when somebody comes and says, wow, you know, the rotation now, they're now they're missing Montas.
Yeah, who cares? Right.
Like, if he's that bad...
Yeah.
Then any alternative will be better, according to you.
When you're expecting him back,
a human with a pulse. Well, 6 to 8 weeks, and then once he resumes, he's got to go through full spring training, so it's going to be a while. I mean, that much is clear. Now, Midday Show, specifically Sal, did take issue with one of Gio's takes from yesterday's show when Willie Colon was sitting in for you, and that was that he was not a fan of the new spring training hats featuring Mr. Met, at least the optics of newcomer Juan Soto, wearing it on the field for his first day with his new team, at least front-facing as far as the media and the public and everyone absorbing all of it on social media. So here was Sal sort of reading back and then commenting on what you had to say during their show yesterday.
I mean, come on, you're going to rip the Mets and call them they look like a joke? I'll tell you what, I don't care what Juan Soto's wearing. He can be out there in his undies for all I care. Mm-hmm. There's no joking. There's no joking in the matter. The Mets are not a joke anymore, so I'm not sure what Gio's issue is. Anything Soto wears, he looks serious to me.
I guess that stigma is tough to shed.
Now, they continued on, longer exchange here, because they go from Sal getting on you about the take on the hat to then kind of taking a few shots at you as well.
Again, would I go by it? Maybe not, but to go on a rant saying that the first day Soto's out there, he comes out, puts on that silly-ass hat, Mets look like a joke again? Come on.
A little grumpy these days, Gio. He needs his boy Boomer back, huh? A little grumpy out there, Grant.
Yeah, I'm not sure where Boomer's been here. Gio and, and Willie Colon doing a nice job on the morning show, but
I just
saw that come across the feed there. Huh. I mean, come on, Gio, light up. They got Soto. That's what I mean. Some Mets fans will never be happy. What are you going to do to make them happy?
Well, you got
to
win. Maybe he's a show-me kind of guy.
Oh, they win, but they look stupid winning in that silly-ass hat. Like, I mean, come on.
I even asked him the other day. I'm like, oh, you pumped up for St. John's? He's like, eh. I'm like, come on. Really? Yeah, I'm like, your mom's a, yeah. You're like, your mom's a massive St. John's fan.
Meanwhile,
like,
he watches golfers in their weird-ass outfits left and right, like whatever tournament it may be, these YouTube golf, and can't get enough of that, how these guys dress like clowns.
All right, to your Mets fan. Right.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's going to love doing the overnight on Xfinity Radio.
And it's almost unfair, like, to even respond to these guys, because it's almost like when you box a kid and, like, you put your hand on their head and they're just swinging and they can't get to you.
Yeah.
Because you got one guy in Sal who was intellectually bankrupt and another guy in BT who is de-evolving. Like, give him a month, he'll be Homo erectus. So none of these takes make any sense.
Okay.
Because he'll go, like, the whole golf thing. Had I ever brought up how I agreed with any of the, like, what golfers is he talking about? Like, let's just assume that he's talking about Jason Day wearing the sweatpants or Ricky Fowler wearing the camo stuff, which is two things that people had a problem with. I never came on here and said that I love that and it's awesome and those guys look great and everybody should take them seriously. So what does that have to do with the hat thing? And the other thing, from a guy who says you're never happy, Met fans will never be happy, this is the same guy who last year when they were winning was like, enough with the grimace, enough with Hot Tua, enough with all this
that's
stuff.
A good point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
While they were winning. So, wow. And you, like, when someone doesn't like something or likes something, there really isn't a counter argument there. Like, you may like the hat if Soto puts it on. I think the hat makes them look goofy. So it just
stick it up your ass.
I mean, it just wasn't like
he doesn't want
the
smoke.
Like none of it made any sense. Like that's not a great comparison. Like that's like such like a level one argument. If you want to get in the deep end, you still need your swimmies. Apparently,
what'd you call Sal? Intellectually, what was it now?
Bankrupt.
Bankrupt. Yeah. Okay. Now it's amazing how in 20 years or so things have really changed. Because in discussing Gio's hat take, Sal referenced, hey, you know, back in 06, we were just soaking up everything with the Mets, and we were living together. And, you know, he was living with Monzo as well, Brian Monzo.
That's when these guys ran naked across the street to the deli.
That was just me.
So that's just, you know, BT hears that and he's very interested and wants to get into that. And then Gio and Monzo, as it turned out, ended up taking yet another stride.
There were a few times where we went out, all three of us together.
Mm-hmm.
But Monzo and Gio were much more of the go. Like, I was, you know, I was dating, mm-hmm. caught up in that situation.
You were dating, they were hunting.
Yes.
Big difference.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I was being a sucker is what I was being in reality. I should have been joining them, but they had it right, I had it wrong. Either way, that was kind of the...
Did they have game when they were single? Monzi and Greg have some game?
I don't remember, honestly. So
I mean, that's probably no, if you don't remember.
Put it this way, I don't recall them bringing back many women to the
Really? World. They were coming home empty-handed? They were taking the collar?
I had a few. I don't recall Oof. Them.
Taking a collar.
I don't recall. It could be, misremembering.
Ooh.
Well, no, I don't misremember. I do remember. And the person that he's talking about was the town donkey that everybody got a ride on that basically handed out the key to every employee here. So is that something to flex on? Don't think so. But talk your stuff from 10 to 2.
Al, your thoughts?
I'll be looking forward to 10 a.m.
I'm going to have some other level one argument. Can't get past the boss on level one.
Oh, the town donkey. Wow.
Well, it was. That's what was going on, you know.
Everybody went for a ride?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not visual.
Everyone got that code. I think it was sent out in a mass email.
Eeyore.
What was this, like 2006?
How about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy before
I'm
got
a loser.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's all.
Wow.
And then, like, you know, BT, this is like their... Like these off-air conversations that we have about sports, like he'll bring on to the air, which I think is, you know, we're chopping it up like that. It's like, you know.
Oh, the St. John's element?
Yeah, like, need to bring any of that.
You put
up
on the head coach yesterday. Yeah, nice chat with
right,
Coach
exactly.
Patino.
So he seemed to forget about that. All I'm doing is pumping the program.
I mean, this is basically 2 hours after you had him on.
Or like he asked me in November if I was jacked up about St. John's basketball. I went, and somehow that bothered him.
You got upset with that. So I saw that.
Yeah, and what I told him was like, you know, my life was unlocked when I stopped celebrating other people's accomplishments. That's when I got really, really up there and mature. So those guys are still waiting. And maybe they won't get there.
Speaking of St. John's, they're at DePaul tonight, 9 o'clock tip. And then, as we mentioned, Rutgers at Washington, 10:15 coverage here on The Fan.
All right, thanks, CeeLo. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio.